Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth. Drama. Smooth. Drama.
All right, all right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. And tonight, we going to get it. We doing the Identity Crisis Show. So if you want to holler at me, give me a call at 347-826-7435. Once again, the call-in number is 347-826-7435. Holler at me. I may answer. I think I'm going to answer. If you're nice. Even if you're not nice, I probably still will answer. And if you wanna holler at me, jump to the chat room, you ask questions, I'll answer them, unless they're ridiculous questions, then I'll probably still answer them, but I might dish you. But anyway, give me a call, 347-826-7435. And to get it going, you know me, I'm always an observer of news, whatnot, and I saw something that was kind of funny and disturbing all at the same time. I saw that there are penises that have been grown in the lab. Now, I mean, I know most people know about clones, whatnot, and clones, you know, cloning and all that started off back in the days with Mary Shelley and Frankenstein, but you know, nowadays cloning and now they clone body parts on mice and just cloning humans in general. They clone animals. We know they've cloned a cat, they've cloned a dog. And you know, it's common on the internet. You'll see they have like mice with like human ears growing on them. I don't know if I'm necessarily down to have a rat ear. I mean, it's not a rat ear, it's a human ear, but it's like grown and it'd be attached to your body. But anyway, they have successfully grown a penis in the lab. Now, first, no homo per my homie Josh. It's funny when you talk about why would they need to grow a penis in the lab, and they start off by saying, you know, altruistically, yes, for those who are suffering from erectile dysfunction and aren't able to really you know, get help, can't get it up. I mean, it's just, it's horrible, and we gotta say, can't get it up. It's real bad. But, you know, my mind thinks differently. See, when I hear they've grown penises, and then they broke down the steps, see, because what they said they would do for those people, and this is supposedly technology that will be available in 5 years. So, ladies, 2014. Well, 2014 is almost over. So, it'd be like 4 years. In 4 years, well, 5 years technically, because when they first come out, is not going to be readily available to the public, I'm assuming. But that next year, what, 2019, 2020, you might even be able to buy your man a penis for Christmas. Now, the implications of that. Now, I'm a conspiracy theorist. We've come out and said that. And you say, all right, jails. I've always been a firm believer that not only is jail, you know, just the next evolution of slavery, but also I've always thought of jail as Oregon heaven. Because one, they do medical examinations on people, and honestly, you find somebody is compatible to somebody, and we know that kidneys and hearts, they're really, really expensive on the market. I mean, you can get a pretty penny selling the kidney, whatnot. And as we know, nobody cares about prisoners. And as we know, the majority of the population in jail are segments of the society nobody cares about anyway, allegedly. And so you say, all right, what does this have to do with cloning penises, you may ask? All right, let me show you. I was reading the article on net, and you know, and there are several articles where they talk about the process step by step how they would clone and get the penis ready to be used by individual. Because as you, if you don't know, if you try to transplant into someone, their body may reject it. So what they do in the cloning process is they get, you know, you can get someone's DNA, grow a penis, and ladies, be ready, because I'm guessing they're not growing 3-inch penises. I'm going to take a guess that it's going to be all 10-inch penises on the market, but I digress. They grow it, then they say that they're going to clean it with detergent, and then they're going to use, according to the article, what's left of the person who's going to receive the penis transplant DNA from their penis and attach it to that grown penis so that the DNA will match, and then they'll grow it in the cell, and bam, you have penis that should successfully be able to hold and stay with you. I'm interested to see how that goes. It's going to be different. It's one of them things where I say this. Like, there's still no cure for the, what you call the erectile dysfunction. Because we know, if you don't know, a lot of erectile dysfunction is not just a function of the body not working, but it's also a function of your mind. If you don't think you can do it, it's not getting done. And so that's what's happening. You're gonna have just people still not able to function correctly if they don't get their mind right. But coincidentally, when you get it to you have a guy who will have the confidence, because hey, if you got like a 10-inch penis, more than likely you're gonna be confident. Like, hey, I'm able to bring the wood. Plus, I'm guessing that they're gonna be taking that Viagra, and 5 years from now they'll have that Viagra where it, well, I mean, I guess it acts in a minute now, but it's gonna be an interesting situation when you talk about you have penises grown in the lab and what's the evolution, because we know it's not going to be, you're not going to be buying the penis. I mean, because you can buy a penis in the adult store, but it's like we have the people who have the operations and their health care covers weight loss operations. Now you're going to have them covering your penis, erectile penis operation. So you can imagine everyone's going to want a 10-inch penis. And I'm guessing the guys with no ego are going to want like 8-inch. But the point is, you got, bam. It's a whatchamacallit. It's a conundrum. It's not a conundrum, actually. You're going to have penises for sale, and people are going to be, I have erectile dysfunction, and getting penis transplants. What'll be the black market on that? I don't know. I mean, but it'll be legal. I mean, you talk about plastic surgery and how that boomed. Think of the penis market. I know a lot of folks are thinking, oh yeah, you throwing this stuff out there and it's crazy, but technically it's not crazy. It is not crazy at all. Because you know, and I know, you think about Viagra and Cialis and all the other countless get hard pills that they have out there. Shit, you know what they're going to be doing when not only can they take these pills, but also I can just go out and get a bigger one. Midlife crisis, buy a new car, nah. I'm getting a new dick. Look out for it. 2019, ladies. Maybe 2020. So you got 5 or 6 years of relative regular sex. And I mean, part of it is you ladies' fault, because y'all always screaming about size matters. So you gave all these dudes complexes about it. So now everybody wants to have the big dick, or you know, the lasting power, or whatnot, which is why we have the explosion of Viagra and all that other stuff. So now you think you add that with all the people who can afford it, they're all going to have giant penises. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. I guess we're going to find out here in the next 5 to 6 minutes. And don't say I didn't warn you. I'm going to be talking about this all the way up to when it happens. Because when it comes, you know it's going. Hold on. My bad. It's Freudian slip. Didn't mean to say that. But when it happens, it's going to be one of them things where people, I can't believe that this is happening. And that there's all these people that want to do that. It's like, yeah, they do. They really do. And on that note, we're going on break. When I come back, we gonna talk about another case of identity crisis. We're going to talk about this skin lightening thing. In the meanwhile, we're going to jump into some J Electronica. This is Exhibit C. It's coming.
Televised. Woo! As we proceed. these shooting dice, smoking weed on the corners, trying to find the meaning of life in the corona. Till the 5%ers rolled up on the nigga and informed them, you either build or destroy. Where you come from? The Mac know your projects in the third ward. From it's quite amazing that you rhyme, how you do, and that you shine like you grew up in the shrine in Peru. Question 14, Muslim lesson 2. Dip diver, civilizer 85er. I make the devil hit his knees and say to our father, abracadabra. You rocking with the true and living. Shout out the Lights Out, Joseph I, Chewy Vivid. Shout out the Baltimore, Baton Rouge, and cool Richmond. While y'all debating who the truth was, like Jews and Christians, I was on C2B, Broad Street, Master, North Philly, South Philly, 23rd, Pastor, 6 Mile, 7 Mile, Hartwell, Bradshaw. When niggas really were packing, you all trucked up. Put the high beams on, drive up on the curb at a barbecue, and hop up out the back like, what's up? Kill a nigga, rob a nigga, take a nigga, bust up. That's why when you talk that tough talk, I never feel you. You sound real good, and you play the part well, but the energy you're giving off is so unfamiliar. I don't feel you.
We need Sir Miller!
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was J Electronica, Exhibit C. Oh, it took me 2 years to find that damn song. I didn't know who sung it or nothing. New Orleans in the house. Shout out. Anyway, you want to give me a call? You want to holler at me? 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, the call-in number, 347-826-7435. And now, continuing our theme, identity crisis. You know, I was sitting up there talking to, just talking at work, and we were talking about skin lightening and people who, you know, do whatever they can, and it reminded me of something. You know, I've always seen the bleaching cream, and I always wondered, why would people want to put bleach on their skin? It's like bleach. That's the stuff that my grandma would clean with, that would basically turn your blue jeans light. And I guess that was kind of the point. Because as we've seen, late great Michael Jackson, now Sammy Sosa, and there are so many skin lightening. I did a little research when looking, and there's some skin lightening products, and the name, man, the name's a classic. I mean, Origins, Never a Dull Moment. Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I mean, but all these names are like crazy racist, like Strivectin, Beauty to Go, Dr. Dennis, Gross Skin Care. So if you're trying to lighten your skin, it's because your natural darker skin is gross. No racism there. It's not even overt, right? Avon, not vanishing cream, banishing cream. Just gonna banish the blackness. Like, really? Banishing cream. And I mean, those aren't even number one. I mean, well, obviously those are some examples. I mean, I found out the number one rated skin whitener is Meloderm. I'm giving a shout out to Ollie. DDF comes in as a honorable mention because DDF is reversal discoloration. I'm like, you're gonna use something that says your skin is gross and is reversal discoloration because your natural skin, your natural beauty is not beautiful? Nah, you know, I have to go back to work. I was talking to a coworker, and I'm like, you know, the whole hair thing, and I talked about, it's like, look, your natural hair is beautiful. Just your natural hair, your natural skin is just beautiful. Now, I'm not hating on people who want to wear their hair how they want to wear it. I mean, and I'm not hating on you if you want to lighten your skin. I'm just saying, you're putting bleach in your body, and I don't know about anything else, but we normally use bleach to cleanse things, and I mean, it's a superficial cleansing because I guess, you know, you're making yourself lighter and more appealing, and you're cleansing that dirty blackness. Or in some cases, that the dirty, darker skin, because, you know, shout out to my homie Dooley. Glutathione is major in the Philippines. And I was reading on that. I mean, it's a major, major thing over there. They have the pills and not only do they do the pills, the capsules, but they do injections. I mean, they do injections. And it's frequent injections. And I'm reading that people, they're happy because it's like, yeah, I have my long, dark locks. I have a well-endowed figure, and I have fair skin, milky white, fair skin. And I see this and I'm like, you want to take the melanin out of your body on purpose, or you want to affect negatively the melanin that protects you from the sun. Now, this wouldn't be a conspiracy theory. I mean, this is just, it's an obvious fact, because we obviously have a lot of people who aren't comfortable, don't find the way they look as just fine and normal. They feel like if I get lighter, my life will be better, and people will look at me in a more positive light, which is sad. I mean, this is not like saying anything that's shocking or new. It's just the fact that, hey, people actually sit down and, you know, as I was saying last time I was on the air, there's normal and then there's abnormal. And I will say it's abnormal because when you look at it, Michael Jackson, who some would say is like the GOAT, one of the greatest performers ever, he was rich. I mean, he was damn near wealthy, and he was chronically unhappy. He was not happy in his own skin, and I mean, he started off my color. He was a nice brown skin guy, and he ended up looking like no human. I will always say he didn't look like any other human, except maybe his sister, who wanted to carry out the Jackson tradition of not looking human. And the point being, you have people who are so hateful of their own natural body, their own natural resources that they have. I mean, your body is beautiful. It's your temple. And when you look in the mirror every day and you say, hey, I'm ugly, what can I do to change that? So you get these creams, you say, okay, why do these people want to change and aren't comfortable in their own skin? You know, it's not cool to look the way you are, because why? You say it's racism. It's a systematic system of racism that makes you feel inferior. But then when you look around, there's white people who go to the tanning salon on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. They spend hard coin. I remember having coworkers who would leave the office pale, come back to the office Puerto Rican. <You know? laughs> And I mean, they twerk, braids, get booty injections, because having a big butt is in. Being juicy thick is in. So I'm like, you're aspiring to be at a status and be compared to a standard and stand next to a standard that the people who are the standard aren't comfortable with. Now, I'm gonna say this. I have no statistics to back it, but I will say that I've always thought that it's the minority of people who feel this way. I mean, I thought that, but sometimes I look around and I'm like thinking to myself, I don't know. they could really be crazy like that, and it could be more than 30%, 40%, 50%. But I try to stay positive and say, you know what, the majority of people aren't crazy. The majority of people in the world are comfortable in their own skin, aside from what you would call a midlife crisis, and every now and again you want to do something for yourself and make yourself look good. I mean, I get that. You know, I've been known to stare in the mirror and do a little something, you know, work out, try to do something so that, you know, I can pop my chest in the mirror. It happens sometimes. But the point is, we have a group of people who then lighten their skin. Then you have a group of people who darken their skin. But and it's like they never seem to meet. I mean, it's obviously philosophical. There's some philosophical differences. Because normally the people who are trying to lighten their skin, they want to look white as possible, and because there are some supposed advantages to looking light. But, you know, when we talk darkening the skin, what is the physical advantage? I mean, do we know? And yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people who are definitely comfortable in their skin without the makeup. But we know there are a lot of people who aren't. It's amazing to see that and to hear it and experience it. And it makes you wonder why would you even want to do that? I mean, sometimes it just hurts. It hurts my feelings just seeing people do it. And there's a plethora. I mean, an inordinate amount of skin lighteners out there. Skin creams. Skin bleach. Your skin is beautiful the way it is. I mean, if it's not beautiful, it's probably because you eaten too many fried foods, ham hocks, and all that other oily stuff. Stay away from that extra butter on the popcorn. You might not have as many zits, but that's a subject for another day. But I do think it's interesting that people go through that and don't understand what you're doing to yourself. I mean, because obviously melanin in your skin helps prevent the skin cancer. And so when you lighten your skin and you circumvent what your body naturally does to protect you, then you set yourself up. And I mean, we talk and we've seen a rise in cancer, all kinds of different cancers in people nowadays. I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, because we talk about from the food to the products, and you put them together and you have a playground for cancer. I mean, we all have cancerous cells in our body. It's what do you eat or what do you indulge in that makes you activate those cells. And it's very important for people to understand that. I mean, and it's simple stuff. And you know, you can make the argument, but people don't care. They refuse to hear it. And until people decide, you know what, I am not going to be this statistic, we're going to have an inordinate amount of people who lose loved ones over this cancer, which, I mean, maybe in the old days they had it, but I don't think that they had it like we have it now. Just a thought. I mean, just, I don't know. I mean, but see, it's a philosophical, physiological thing. Like when I talked in the first segment about, you know, the erectile dysfunction, it's a confidence thing. You know, where's your confidence when it comes to, hey, I look good, and I don't care if 99% of y'all don't think so. That's y'all problem. So you got to have a 1% mindset. Until you get that 1% mindset, you are going to be losing. And you're going to be falling for the okie doke and doing what business corporate people who prey on you parasitically want you to do. But don't listen to me. I'm just a guy on the radio who pretends like he's smart by quoting what somebody else has written already. So, you know, don't pay me no mind. Do your own research. And if you don't, well, hey, more power to you. Good luck and all that other stuff. I hope it works out for you. I really do. In the meanwhile, please stop bleaching your skin. You think that after seeing Michael Jackson and Sammy Sosa and all these other countless so-called celebrities who bleach their skin and you see how they look and the sickness that they have and the health problems, you think you wouldn't want to do that? I mean, it's not looking human in now. It's looking like it's Halloween every day. What it is? I mean, I know it may not be skin lightening, but when I see another example, Lil' Kim. I always thought that she was a beautiful woman, and now she does not look normal. And maybe she did some skin lightening. No, she had some plastic surgery, and it's just how you are naturally is a beautiful thing. You know, it's crazy when you're not comfortable being you. There's nothing wrong with what you naturally got. Shake what your mama gave you. Rock with what got you here. May not be that bad. And on that note, I'm going to take a break because I done got disheartened and I need some musical motivation. Speaking of which, you know, this song, it was like he wrote it for me. And it's a common song. You know, I mean, he did a song back in the days called I Used to Love Her, you know, which was talk about hip-hop and how it was changing. And he just recently did a new one, and this is common. I Still Love Her. Talking to you.
Common. Change me. got so much soul.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Common. I still love her. And I still do. I can't stop. Won't stop. Never gonna stop. Because, of course, you know, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. Anyway, who are you? Why don't you know your name? Famous Malcolm X words. And if you don't know them, you know them now. It's another part of the identity crisis that we have where people aren't comfortable with their own name and not being what society tells them to be. For example, was having a conversation, and a guy from what they call Africa is like, yeah, you know, why do y'all call yourselves African Americans? I'm like, I don't know, because I don't call myself African American. I mean, obviously, when you fill out paperwork, whatnot, You only have two choices. There's African American or other. I mean, at this point, it don't even matter, because that there is what they say you are, and then there's what you are. Because as Malcolm once famously said, you can put kittens in the oven, that don't make them biscuits. And obviously, I'm not a biscuit. And so, you know, when he asked me that, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I've never considered myself African American because I don't believe in that hyphen thing. I mean, obviously, we're here in the United States. I was born in the United States, so I'm a U.S. citizen. I mean, no one else does that whole hyphenated thing. It's American. So it's what it is. I'm not hyphening nothing. And I mean, it goes back to the African part. I mean, Africa was named after Leo Africanus, the guy that defeated Hannibal. You know, for those of you who don't know, Hannibal was a general, Carthage, black man, not the guy that's eating brains and tongues and thighs and whatever the hell else he's eating in these movies and now in the television show. We just gonna have to take that name back. Hannibal was a great general out of Carthage, which is in what they call Africa now, which was back then Kemet. Kemet was the name spelled KMT back then, and literally it means the black land. The people called themselves Kemu, which means the black. So, Kemetic people, that's what it was. It was Kemet back in those days. It became Egypt when the Greeks conquered. So that's where Egypt comes from, because the civilizations that developed along the Nile, which is the largest body of water in the world, is was the Sudan, you know, Kemet, all along there, because in Sudan they had pyramids also, and those pyramids in the south predate the pyramids that are seen famously in what they call Egypt now, which was Kemet back then. And for those who don't understand what I'm saying here is when we talk about identity crisis, understand that if you don't know, your people had civilization that didn't start with 12 years as a slave, which, I mean, it was an all right movie, but they never talked about how he disappeared, meaning he got lynched. But we not going to go there. I digress. You had civilization that predates slavery. Hell, you had civilization which just 500-600 years ago, the Moors were in charge of most of Europe and had brought civilization there. So, I mean, there's been a conscious effort, as most know, to blot you out of history, but you had civilization. You know, there, black folks weren't just slaves, never not having history. I mean, math, music, science, you had that. And the difference, it was culturally, like the Native Americans here, there was a respect for nature as opposed to trying to control nature. See, so it's two cultural phenomena going on here. You have people who respect nature and who believe in the natural order of things. Now, understanding the natural order of things and not understanding the natural order of things are two major distinctions. So you'll have people who try to control the weather by seeding clouds and making it rain and all this other stuff, as opposed to making it rain in the club, which is just stupid. But I'm digressing again. The point being, your natural reaction, your natural just being one with the world has been suppressed. And so you're out of balance. So we talk about being culturally out of balance and not culturally understanding that, hey, there's nothing wrong with you. And when you can't understand what's going on in society, it just doesn't work for you sometimes. You just get by just trying to do whatever, and it may drive you crazy. I mean, it's why, because it goes against your whole natural original instinct, because our original instinct is just to be one, to exist and try to live off the land as opposed to control the land. I own the land. This is mine. I mean, you know, as I will continually state, you can't discover a place where millions of people already are. And you can't dictate to Mother Nature. I mean, we've talked about ecological disasters. We've talked about how controlling the weather and now controlling the food with the GMOs, what have you, and how that affects the natural order of things. And so when we come back to who are you, I mean, you're one with nature. I mean, I was reading a book, The Source Field Investigations by David Wilcox, where he talks about us being naturally attuned to the earth. I mean, and people, I don't think people understand it. I mean, because they think when you talk science that there's no appreciation for a creator, and I'm here to tell you that it's actually more of an appreciation for a creator, because obviously without gravity and us being one with the earth vibrational sequence, we would just fly off. I hope y'all understand that. It's one of those things where if we weren't one with the earth, if Earth thought that, and it may happen, you know, which is why you have these overabundance of storms. If the Earth thought there was something wrong with us, it would just change its frequency so that we wouldn't be able to be attuned to it, and we would just fly off into space. Just something to think about. That's the beauty of your creator right there. You can stay on Earth. You go to another planet, if you don't tether yourself down to something that's firmly on the ground, kind of fly off. Like, you see the movies where there's no gravity, you're not attuned to it, that planet won't have you. You would just fly off into space and disappear. It's kind of what you're doing when you don't understand who you are. You're mentally flying off your planet. I mean, because I stated earlier, your body is your temple. You know, your body is your planet. This is your planet right here. You know, so the planet, whatever your name is, you need to be attuned to it. If you're not taking care of it, if you're bleaching your skin, putting stuff unnaturally in your body, not understanding who you are and just being comfortable with who you are, what happens? You get sick. You metaphorically fly off into space because your body can't take the unnatural things that you do. And so when you continue with unnatural acts and not recognizing who you are and what you are, you have these negative consequences. And they don't go away. They will never go away. And so you got to take a deep, hard look. Say, when you're in that mirror and you're looking at yourself and you're just sitting there glistening after you got out the shower, and you're like, yeah, oh, I'm going too far, it's late at night. you got to take care of yourself, in other words. And it's a mental process. It starts with, everything starts mentally. You know, I mean, I think we focus so much on the physical that the mental is neglected, and you don't see what's right in front of your face. So, I mean, if you're ugly, it's your mental processing it all wrong, because you're obviously listening to the wrong people. The wrong influences are in your head. Because if you feel good about yourself and you do the things that you naturally should do, when you wake up and you look in the mirror, man, because I know I do it all the time, and I mean, I'm not going to compare myself to anyone else, because obviously I like to think that I'm handsome. I like to think that I'm in good shape, that I'm attuned, and I'm one with myself, and I don't understand when other people don't do that. I really and truly don't understand it. I don't see how you can't look at yourself and say you're beautiful. I mean, because when I look at an individual, I say, hey, I'm gonna look at the positive. I mean, I was always taught, you know, you get more flies than honey than shit. So I see the honey, which is better for you than sugar, by the way. If you use a tea drinker or whatever, use honey over sugar. But I'm digressing again. The point being, you just say you're beautiful. Eventually, you will brainwash yourself into believing it. And coincidentally, you will start to act it out and be it. You will be beautiful because you believe you're beautiful. I've always said, and you'll be hard pressed to argue it. Men, when they look at women, it's about the confidence that the woman has. If the woman thinks she's sexy, man thinks she's sexy. And vice versa. When you'll see, and you always hear that argument, like, why is she with him? They say, oh, he's paying for it. But no, maybe he's not. Maybe he has such a pleasing personality that, you know, whatever shortcomings you may see, she may not see that, because it's not a shortcoming, because he pleases her, stimulates her mentally. And that's the issue. Are you being pleased mentally? Are you pleasing yourself mentally? It's not sexual. It's mental. If you believe, good things will follow. If you don't, we are where we are. And that's the identity crisis. We don't believe. And until we believe, we're going to have what we have. And on that note, I want to thank you all for listening. Special shout out to my homegirl, Chocolate. Good to see you. Shout out to Laura, hit me up. Congratulations on the new kid. Shout out to my homies, Josh, Dooley, Andrew. Keep your head up. Smooth Drama. I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.